Okay, let's, with Hashem's help, Bli Neder, let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas of Imori Harav David Tzvi Ben Harav Yosef. Today's daf is Daf Pei. We begin at the very, very top of Daf Pei. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a Braisa. Shtei Osios Bidio. So the halacha is, we have been learning how much liquid is considered to be a significant liquid that you are chayav for carrying on Shabbos. So, it says in the very top of Daf Pei, Tana, Shtei Osios Bidio, if you're carrying just the ink itself, it needs to be the amount of ink that you could write two letters. That's the amount of ink that's considered to be significant on Shabbos, the amount of ink. So if you carry in your hand two letters worth of ink, Shtei Osios Bekulmos, or if you're carrying a quill that also has two letters worth of ink in the quill, so you chayv, shtei osios bekalmarin. Also, if you're carrying an ink well that has two letters worth of ink, so you chayv. Seems like a very straightforward halacha. Boy Rava, and here's where things start to get complicated. And I will tell you that the first three, four cases that Rava brings now, again, I don't mind not understanding anything because I never understand anything anyway, but it's sometimes good to, what's comforting for me is you know what you know and then you know what you don't understand. So that's what I think that's unfortunately where we're going to be left off in these four cases, unless you can tell me a better shot. But I researched this a little bit, spent a lot of time on this, but anyway, let's see. So says the Gemara, Boy Rava, Os Achas Bidio, Va'os Achas Bekulmus, Va'os Achas Bekalmarin Mahu, says the Gemara Teku. If you carry out one letter's worth of just pure ink, and then one letter's worth in a quill, and one letter's worth in an inkwell, what's the din? Rava says, Teku, I don't know what the din is. You don't know what the din is? Why don't I know what the din is? You carried enough ink to write two letters. You had one letter in the quill. Look at the top Tosus. Osachos, Osachos, going. Avami Shishnei Kulmusin Mitzdarfrek. Even though, if you carried out two letters worth in two different quills, everyone would agree you'd be chayev. If you carried out two letters worth just with the ink, everyone's chayev. But if you carry out one letter's worth with the ink and one letter's worth in the quill and one letter's worth in the inkwell, you're not chayev. Says Tosis, Shema, Kaigavna, Shema lo mitztarfe. Why not? What in the world does the Svarta say it shouldn't combine? So listen to this. Listen to this. So, the Rambam writes, based on the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says that really, if you carry out just the ink itself, so it's clear, you need an amount of ink you can write two letters with. But if you're also carrying out the quill or the inkwell, you're going to need a slightly different amount because some of the ink gets stuck in the quill and gets stuck on the inkwell. So you're going to need a little bit more than two letters worth of ink in order to write two letters worth in an inkwell because you can't get every single little last drop out of the inkwell. You never get it all out of there. We have a stamper at home. Like one of those stampers, it's never done. There's always a drop more. So by definition, you're going to need a little bit more. So based on that, if all three of them have three different shirim, the Sfasemis claims Bedasa Ramam that even the Bavli holds this way. And some of the Achronim say even Rashi holds like the Ramam. So then you can explain, that's what Agamar means. Since the three of them have three different shiurim, that's why they're not mitzdarif. Because all three have three different. We learned earlier, anything that doesn't have the same shiur is not mitzdarif. So that's why if you have two quills, each of them with one, so that works. But one quill and one inkwell and one regular ink, it's three different shirims, it's not mitzdarif. Wow. Now look at the next type. Look at the Rashi. Now, what about carrying the quill itself? Why aren't you chayv just for carrying the quill? Forget the ink. So Rashi says this is connected to what there's a Gemara later on, Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. We're going to learn it in 2 weeks. Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. We had this quoted before already. Let's say you're carrying out half a grogris worth of food. So that's too little, right? Half a grogris. But you're carrying out half a grogris in a bag. So you're not chai for carrying the bag. Why not? You're carrying the bag. No. The bag is only there to service a half a grogris. It's tuffel to the half a grogris. So since you're not chayv on the half a grogris, you're not chayv on the bag. Says Rashi, same thing over here. If you're not chayv on the ink because it's only one thing, are you carrying the quill? No, but the quill is only there because of the ink. So if the ink you're not chayv on, you're not chayv for the quill also. So says Rashi. Wow. Okay. Let's continue. If you thought that was hard to understand, and one last point about this. The Meiri adds the following point that even if you say against that Mishnah, maybe because in that Mishnah some people hold, no, you are chai for the Kli. Even if you say for the Achai, you could say this case, not my case, where you're mazed on the quill, but you were shogig on the ink. Mazed on the quill, shogig on the ink. So then you still have a Shaila. I'm chayiv for the quill. I got it. I'm chayiv misa for the quill, but the shaila is you chayiv for the ink. Anyway, fine. Amar Rava, hotzi shtei osios uksavan kshuma halich chayiv ksivasan zui anachasan. Unbelievable Gemara. A guy takes out a quill with two letters worth, but you got to do a hanacha. So this guy doesn't do a hanacha in the Rosh Hashanah. What does he do? He's walking and he writes as he continues walking. He writes. So says the Gemara, even though he never stops walking and he goes back into Rosh Hashanah, since he wrote the letters of Sarabim, it's considered to be a hanacha on the paper, even though the paper doesn't stop. Why? Sheksivasan zui hanachasan. It's a pella. So says Rashi. Wait a minute. Doesn't make any sense. Ksivasan zui anachasan? Why is that so? So in the notes on the bottom here, he said, so this is Tosis earlier on Hammond Bays. Asks this Kasha. Tosis earlier on Hammond Bays asks, you didn't stop. Right? Tosis earlier on Hammond Bay asked the following Kasha. Tosis at Hammond Bay says, We're going to get there, Mordechai. Hang on. We're going to get there. You may remember this case on Hammond Bay, or maybe you don't remember this case. But on Hammond Bay, the Gemara had the following case. What happens if you put a nut down in a floating kli? Remember that? You put a nut down, but the kli's floating. It's not stopped. So there, we said, it was a shaila. So ask the Rishonim, Tosis says, how come over here it's obvious to Rava that you're still walking, the nir is still moving, but it's considered to be anach, even though the paper is still moving. Why isn't it the same thing as putting the nut down in the kli that's still moving on the water? So Tosis says the difference is that the ink on the paper, this is its permanent location. It's going to be on the paper forever. That's not moving anywhere. It's not going anywhere else. But the nut on the kli, you can take it off. But so what? That's what Tosis says. But so what? At the end of the day, right now, it's down there. Others say, no, you read it on the hand. Let me tell you, there's one other answer that to me made a lot of sense. The Rav Yos says, no, you got the case wrong in our Gemara. The Rav Yos says the case is you were walking, but as you were walking, you wrote with the quill on a stationary piece of paper and there's just a rabbi and you kept walking. So you didn't stop, but the ink stopped. Oh, that makes sense. That I get. So then the ink stopped in Rosh Hashanah. But Tosis, all these other Rashi, I don't understand how in the world it could be. The Rav Yos says, the ksiv is hanacha. It's totally right. No, there's a klaf that's on an umud in the Rishos HaRabim. and you wrote it while you're walking. That's the hanacha.
Oh, if that's the pshat, yeah, of course. Yeah, that I get it. It stops in Rishas Rab. Good, good. The ink stopped. If the ink stopped, I get it. But I don't understand Tosis and Rashi. I don't understand how it's called the hanacha. Anyway, but Tosis says somehow, since the paper is considered to be its permanent location, even though the paper itself is still moving, but we view the ink as if it stopped on the paper. I don't understand it. Okay. It's good to know what you don't understand. At least you have the pshat of the Rav Yo. We have the Rav Yo's pshat. Okay. Let's continue. And by the way, it's still not understandable. Ve'amarava. Next case. Ve'amarava. I have to admit, I don't understand this pshat. I don't understand this case. I don't know. Rava had something about carrying the ink out. I don't know. I don't know what was on his mind, but I have no idea. Ve'amarava. Hotzi os achas uksava. Hear this case. He takes out ink of one letter and he writes it. He writes it in Rishas Rabim and it's written. It stopped. V'chazar v'hotzi os achas uksava pater. And then you take out another one letter and you write it. You're pater. You wrote two letters in Rishas Rabim. You're pater. Why? My time a be'idna da'afka l'vasraisa chasa l'lishua d'kamaisa. Again, we're talking about a case where, again, hotzi osachas uksava, v'chazava hotzi osachas uksava, potter, my timer, be'idna dafka l'basraisa, at the time that you took out the first one, chasa l'lishiur d'kamaisa. Since the ink had already dried on the first one, when you took out the second one, v'nifchas shiuro, by the time you take out the second one, it's not a shiur of ksiva shteyosios. Why not? Why is this any different than you eat a half a kazayas of chalev, and then eat another half a kazayas that it's mitzdarif? So ask all the Rishonim, why? Because that's always the way by eating. Shagam kishaochel kazayis sholem v'bas achas. Even if you eat a whole kazayis at one time, by the end of the food, the beginning of the kazayis is not there. That's the definition of eating. But by carrying, you gotta have the whole first half still there. Since the ink is now on the paper, it's not be'en anymore. It's swallowed up by the paper. So it's considered like it's not there anymore. So says the Meiri. Umashim b'divrei Meir sheklal zeh nemar gam l'gabei shari sumer shebetorah. Prima Gadol says, no, maybe this is only done by hotzah. That since the first thing is gone, the ink was already swallowed. Why is it gone? It's sitting there on the paper. It's not moist anymore. So it's dry. You can't see it anymore. It's like it's not be'en. Unbelievable. Again, I don't have a good shot here. I don't quite understand it. You wrote what... Again, Vada, hold on. Well, let me be clear. Vada, you're chayiv for the ksiva. There's no question about that. Obviously, you're chayiv for kosev. For the malach of kosev, you're chayiv. But as far as carrying out the ink is considered to be dried up already. It's not be'en. There is no mamashus of the ink anymore. Once the ink goes in the paper, it's like gone. So now you carry out the second letter's worth. So the first letter's worth is already gone. So you're even though it was all Behelam Echad, so you're exempt. Very, very difficult to understand why it should be true. And by the way, the next case is also difficult. The fourth case doesn't get any better. Also difficult. V'amar Rava, case four. Hotzi chazi grogris achas. Let's say you took out half a grogris of food. V'hinicha, and you put it down. V'chaz of hotzi chazi grogris achas. V'hinicha, then you took out another half a grogris and put it down. Rishona nasik mishakalta kelev oshinisrafa upater. Since at the time you did the first one, you removed the first half. Says the Gemara, "V'amai hamancha, why are you exempt? You put it down." Hachi kamar, "V'im kodam v'gbiya rishona kodam anach hashnia."
you picked up the first one before you put down the second one and kept walking with the first one. Nasis Rishona Kamisha Kalto Oshinisro Putter. It's as if a dog ate the first one or a Kella or somebody else and your putter. Also, I don't understand this one. You put down a half a kazayas. Good, the dog came and ate it. But you put it down. You put down a half a kazayas, a half a grogerus. And then you put down another half a grogerus. But since the dog ate the first one before you put down the second one, what do you mean? But you did two halves of an aveira. If it was still there, you're going to tell me it's chayv. What's the difference? You did an akir, you did a hanacha. You did an akir hanacha about a half a grogerus. So you're putter. So the Rishash writes over here, Sharizek Kimisha Kelv Kalta, because at the time of the finishing of the Hotzah, the first half of the Hotzah is not in the world. So too over here, Bishas Gemara Hotzah, the first Hanacha is no longer there. I don't know. I don't get it. You did a Hanacha on a half a Grogerus, you did a Hanacha another half a Grogerus, he says it's no good. Okay. The Rishonim struggle with this. Let's continue. But that's what it says. It says, again, let's just repeat. If you take out a half of grogerus, and then you bring out the second half, but before you put down the second half, you pick up the first half, put down the second half, keep walking, you're putter. Even though you did two halves of a malacha, but since it was all behelam echad, you didn't know. But nevertheless, since at the time you did the second half, the first half was no longer munach b'mekomo, the Gemara says, so you don't violate hotzah. Fascinating. I honestly don't completely get it. Let's continue. V'amarava. Hotzi chatzi grogeris. V'hinicha. So let's say you took out half a grogeris, half a dried fig of food, and put it down in Rishus Rabbim. Then you went back inside. V'chazar v'hotzi chatzi grogeris. V'havir derech ale'achayev. And you brought the second half right above the first half. You passed it right over the first half. You're chayev. Says Gemara, why? V'amai halonach. You didn't put it down. Why? They didn't have hanacha. Why you chayev? Answer the word, kogon she'avir betoch shlosha. No, you brought it within three tefachim of the ground. So we would apply the rule of lavud. So it's considered to be a hanacha. Ask the Gemara, v'amai rava, toch shlosha l'rabbanon. Tzarech hanacha agavi mashu. What do you mean? But the chachamim say, it's got to have a hanacha somewhere. If it doesn't have a hanacha, it's just ram, just because it was within three tefachim of the ground. It's still moving. It's got to stop somewhere. It's the Gemara Lakasha. Kan bezori, kan b'mavir. So the Gemara says, if you're throwing it, then the Chacham say it's got to stop somewhere. So then, even if it stops somewhere above, within three tefachim, but it stops somewhere, so it's considered to be lavud to the ground. But if you're carrying it, it doesn't have to stop. That's what the Gemara says. If you're carrying it, as long as it went within three tefachim of the ground, it's considered to be hanacha, even if it doesn't stop. Comes along Tosfos and points out, if that's true, well, then it doesn't have to go on top of the other half of date at all. It could go anywhere on the ground and it was just a rabbin. It would be good enough. It doesn't have to go over it. Oh, so what's the chiddush of the Gemara saying that if it goes over the other half? Why is the Gemara saying that the second half has to go over the first half? No, because if it goes over the first half, it doesn't have to be three tefachim off the ground. It just has to be three tefachim over the first half. Because that little bit that the first half is elevated from the ground, it's considered to be lavud. If it goes, even if it's more than three tefachim from the ground, as long as it's within three tefachim of the first half a date, so that's good enough. That's why the Gemara tells you the chiddush of havir or derech alel. Okay, let's continue. Tana Rabbanan. Our rabbis taught in a braisa. Hotzi chatzi grogeris. If you took out half a dried fig and put it down, then you went back and so took out another half a drink and it's still there, and you put down the second one, you're chayev. But if you remembered in between that it was usser, putter. Because that's right, we saw before that if you remember in between, it separates them and considered to be two separate actions, so you'd be exempt. Rabbi Yossi Omer, behelam echad l'rishus echad chayev. Rabbi Yossi says, only if you took them out to the same place. L'shtei rishuyos pater. But if you took them out to two different rishus harabims, you'd be pater. Hama rabba, v'hu she'esh chiyu chates beinem. That's only if you had a rishus hayachid dividing in between the two rishus harabims. Aval karmel is low. But if you had a rishus harabim derabanan, that's not enough of a separation. Abayom enough, afilu karmelis. even if you had a karmala separating them, they're considered to be two rishus. I will piss lalo. But if you have a little wall, a short little wall, that is not considered to be a division. Rava amar afilu pisla. Rava says even if you have a small little wall, that's also a good division between the two rishus harabims. Vaz the rava latame dam rava rishus shabbos kushus gittin damya. Rava goes according to his own reasoning, who says by the case of gittin, the pisla is considered to be separate rishus. What's the case over there? A guy, the wife is standing in the husband's rishus, and he throws a get to her, but he said. This rishus, this my backyard, I'm going to be makna a makum in my backyard that you should be able to be kona the get from me. He chucks the get, and the get lands on a fence in the backyard, a pisla. So Rava holds, it's not a good get. Why not? It didn't rest in the backyard. Then the pisla is considered to be a separate rishus in the backyard. So Zakti Gemara, just like a pisla is a separate rishus by gittin, so too, a pisla is considered to be a separate rishus to be mechalik two rishus harabim by Shabbos legabi Rabbi Yosi's halach. Let's continue. Kol kadei lichol ayin achas. So you know how, like over the last couple of daf, I keep on vacillating whether or not the eyeshadow is it for beauty or for medicine. So this Gemara is exactly why I had some confusion, because apparently there are two types of kol. One type of kol was used to beauty, like an eyeshadow, eyeshadow, something like that. And the other type was done to heal. They were both two types of kol. It was done for healing purposes. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Kechol kedi lakchol ayin achas. So the Gemara wants to know, what do you mean? If it's to beautify, what crazy woman, right? Obviously, the Gemara didn't live in the year 2020, because it wouldn't be considered to be crazy at all to make one eye blue and one eye not blue. What kind of crazy person would do that? Yeah, nowadays, go look in the street. Everybody does mishug in the crazy styles. But the Gemara doesn't understand that. How would it be possible for a woman? Why is that considered to be significant? Nobody would only dye one eye, not the other. You look ridiculous. But nowadays, the more ridiculous you look, the more in style you are. Says the Gemara, ayin achas, holoi kachle. Right, nowadays, it's in style to walk out with ripped jeans. You have to pay more for that. You have to pay more for the jeans that are ripped. Michigan of Elt we live in. I could rip them for you. Just buy them whole. It costs more when they're ripped. Ayin achas, holo kachle. One eye. What do you mean? Why is one eye's dye enough? No person in their right mind is only going to dye one eye. You look off balance. And it's the Gemara Ravuna Shekain Tsnuos. Koichles ayin achas. Listen to this. The tsnuos used to cover over their whole face, but the burka ladies, the tsnuos, they got to cover over the whole face. They can be tsnu, I don't want anybody. Oh, but how's she going to see where she's going? Oh, so she's got to cover her whole face, but she leaves one eye open. So she, the tsnua, she's going to color one eye. Unbelievable. Hala amar ravuna shekin tsnuos kochlas ayinachas. In fact, the Gemara may see vei. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer kichol. Im lerefua, if it's the type of eye ointment that's for healing the eye, kedeklayanachas, that's for one eye, because maybe only one eye hurts. Im lekashet b'shteinayim, answer the Gemara, tirgama hila bereid Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni kitaniyahu beironios. That's the women who live in the suburbs. So the women in the suburbs, they're not worried about men coming into contact with them. They go around with two eyes. So for them, only two eyes worth of eyeshadow is significant. But for the woman who lives in the city and she's worried that the men are going to look at her, so she would only reveal one eye. Oh. So this is in parentheses. Shavo kidelitin alpinek of katan. Tanik delitin alpinek of katan shel yayin. Okay. It's in parentheses, the Gemara says, the Mefarshim say, because it really belongs later on. Really belongs later on. That it's out of order. So wax, enough wax is to cover over a crack in the barrel. Tanak delitin apinek of katan shel yayin, on a wine barrel. Because the wine is very viscous. It's very thin. So a very small amount of wax will cover over the crack. Devek, k'telitim brosha, shafshof. glue enough to put on the top of a beam. Tana, Tidurosh Shavshav, Shabarosh Kanishal Sayadin. Sounds a little disgusting, but the way they used to trap birds, they would put, birds would often come to roost on top of these poles. So they put glue on top of the pole and trap the bird. Psych, that's the way we get the bird. Okay. Sounds a little disgusting, but okay, the bird would come to rest and then he couldn't fly off. That's the way they would trap the birds. Zephyrs v'gafres k'dei lasos nekev listom nekev. So pitch or tar enough to seal up the battle. Tana k'dei lasos nekev katan. Talking about the English says a vial of mercury. They would close it up with this tar and then bore a tiny little hole through it, and then they needed more tar to cover up the tiny hole. So that's what it's talking about. Enough pitch to cover up the tiny hole of a mercury vial. Charis is the last is pikur. I learned a new word yesterday. Crucible. What's a crucible? A crucible is an oven that you make, that you use for making gold, for making metals. So you know, taking raw gold and making it into refined. It's like a refinery. Crucible. So charis is the last is pikur. How much ground up stone enough to cover over the mouth and create an opening in the crucible in a metal oven, an oven for making metal. Ask the Gemara, Lememra Deshira de Rabbi Yehuda Nafish. You mean to tell me, because Rabbi Yehuda said, okay, so Tanakama said enough ground up pot, you know, ground up charsis. Charsis is like ground up brick. So Rabbi Yehuda said, Tanakama said enough for the crucible, for the oven, which is a much smaller shear than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said you have to make the whole tripod that the oven would rest on. So that's a lot more. So he's more lenient, says the Gemara. Lamema deshir Rabbi Yehuda nafish, his shear was bigger, he's more lenient. Hakaimel and deshir derabban nafish. But we have a tradition that when Chachama argued Rabbi Yehuda, Chachama always had the larger shear, disnan. Because we learned in earlier Mishnayos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer k'dei litol himeno midas mina l'katan. So he's machmir, he's mechayiv even on a smaller shear than the Rabbanei. It's the Gemara. Emek de losud pitput kira katana. That doesn't mean to make the whole tripod. It meant to fill in the cracks of the tripod. So that's taka a lesser amount. He's more machmir. Subin k'dei litol al pikur shel tsarfei zav. So how much bran to place on the oven. So the Marshal erases this. Yeah. It's because we said that's charsis. Tan Rabbanan. Hamotzi sear. How much hair do you have to carry? K'dei legabel bo es hatit. Apparently adding hair to the clay would help the clay. The cement, the mortar that they would use. Lasos pikoshel tsarfezov. To make enough clay, enough mortar to cover over the nekev of the oven. Sid k'dei lasud lime, enough lime to put on a small girl. Tana k'dei lasud etzba katana shebebanos, to redden, to make it look healthy, the girl's pinky, a small girl, to make her look beautiful, they would put some lime on to make it redden, to redden the skin, to make it look lush, healthy. Amri the marab benos yisrael shegiu lepirkan v'lo yigiu l'shanim, a girl who starts growing hair but she's not 12 years old yet and she's embarrassed about the hair, benos aniim toflo sasan besid. So if they're poor, they would put lime on it to get rid of the hair. Benos ashirim, let's say hair in the underarms or whatever. Benos ashirim tovlos asan besolas. If they were a little wealthier, they would take flour. Benos malachim tovlos asan b'shemen amor. Certain type of oil. Shenemar, shishochad ashim b'shemen amor. That was the princesses. Mai shemen amor, Rav Huna bar Yechi amar, stovas. Some say this is balsam oil. Some say it's a certain spicy oil. Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba Omar, Shemen Zayish Lo V'Yishlish. Olive oil from olives that were not yet one-third grown. Tanya Rav Yehuda Omar, Anfiknon, Shemen Zayish Lo V'Yishlish. That's a type of oil that's not kosher for a mincha, so it's made out of olive oil that was not yet one-third grown. V'lam Masachin also, why would the Benos Malachim soak themselves in this stuff? Shemeshir Esaseir Ma'adin Abasar. It does both. It would remove the hair, and also it would freshen up the flesh to make it look healthy. Rav Bibi Havile Barta. Funny story. Rav Bibi had a daughter, Tafla, Aver. So he put this lime on her one limb at a time. Shakalba Arba Meas Zuze. So it made her look so beautiful that they gave her a very, very, very big dowry. Everybody wanted to marry her. She was so beautiful because Rav Bibi did this process there. Havahu Nochi B'Shevuse, there was a guy in Rav Bibi's town who said, hey, I could do that also. Havale Barat, he also had a daughter, Tafla B'Chad Zimna. He put the lime on in one shot on her whole body. Umesa, she died from it. Omar Katal Rav Bibi Libarti. So he said, you know, Rav Bibi, you killed my daughter. What do you mean you killed my daughter? What do you mean? You did it yourself. You were an idiot. You didn't do it limb by limb. He did it limb by limb. What do you mean you killed my daughter? So, right. So the Achronim say over here that this guy thought that it would be better to do it in one shot. And the reason Rav Bibi did it one limb at a time is that people shouldn't see him doing this to his daughter. Because it's not appropriate for a Talmud Chacham to do such a thing to his daughter. Therefore, so he did it one at a time so people shouldn't see. Therefore, that's why the Nachri said, Rav Bibi killed my daughter. The fact that you were a rabbi, so I didn't chop that's what you were doing. I thought the reason you were doing it was just to hide. I didn't realize that, you know, rabbis wouldn't do that. No. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Bibi de Shasi Shechra, Bayan Bante Tafla. Since Rav Bibi used to drink beer, that's why his daughters needed this stuff to make them look healthy. Anan Deloshasin and Shechra, we who don't drink this cheap stuff, we drink wine. Lo Bayan Bantan Tafla. Our kids, our daughters don't need this. Because we drink wine. Rav Bibi was very poor, so he would drink beer. So therefore his kids didn't look so nice. But Rav Nachman was from the house of the Nasi, so he was rich. He would drink wine, so his daughters didn't need it to look so nice. Rabbi Huda Omer, Kede Lasud Kilkol. So others say no, the shear of lime is different shear. Kilkol, Kede Lasud Kilkol. What's that, a basket? And others say Andipi. Ask them, are my kilkol, my andipi, what are these two things? Amarav, tzida, her forehead. So you would put lime on the forehead to cause the hair to lie flat. And andipi is ubas tzida, the place right under the forehead. And that was done to remove the hair. Says what, lamei with the shear of Rabbi Yehuda Nafish? The same kasha. So it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda's shear was more. No, Rabbi Yehuda's shita was less than the Chachamim, but more than Rabbi Nechemya. Meisi vei, Omar Rebbe, Nirin, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, bechavut, a very diluted lime, v'divrei Rabbi Nechemya, beveitzas hasid, which one that has less diluted, it's more thick. V'yisal kadaitach, tzidu, bas tzidu, Idi chavut. So what do you mean? If you tell me it's talking about those, so they were both diluted very much. And it's the Gemara Lama Rav Yitzchak Amri Debe Rabbi Ami Aandifa. It's a type of barrel that has two holes, one on top, one on the bottom. So you needed the lime to fill up the bottom hole.
Maskelah Rav Kahana v'chi adam osim osav an faros. If you put lime in the bottom of your barrel, the wine's going to come out and destroy it. You're going to lose all your wine. Elam Rav Kahana shinasos. And deepi was the if you have a measuring cup, so a quarter of a cup, a half a cup, three quarters, the lines in the side were used with lime. So enough lime to make those lines in the side. Kedistan shnasos hayu behin. Right, in the measurement in the Beis HaMikdash, it had different cracks in the side of the cup, so you should know which type of carbon is libations. Right? Adkan lepar. A bull needed a wine pouring of half a hin. Adkan la'ayl, an ayl needed a third of a hin. And adkan lekeves, a keves needed a quarter of a hin. So each side of the cup had a different line. So you needed a line for the v'ibay sema. Mai andipa apusa. It means the forehead, in a place where there was hair, and they would put it on the hair to flatten it, and they would put it on the forehead underneath it to make it look beautiful. V'chiha da'ahu bar Galil, like the case of this guy who lived in the Galil, the Iglo LeBavel. He went to Bavel. Da'amrulei kum droshlan v'maisim merkava. Come make a drasha for us about maisim merkava. Amar lehu edrus lechu k'darsha b'nechemi lechavrei. Should I give you the drasha like Rabbi Nechemya did? V'nafkas arisa min kosel. And an animal came out of the wall, machte bandipe umis, and smacked him across the forehead, and he died. V'amrule min dile dole. It was his fault, because he shouldn't have, it happened to him because of his own fault. He shouldn't have been dashing in Maisa Merkava. It's too heavy stuff, and he got killed. If you do too much dashing on the secrets of Torah, it's a problem. Let's continue. Adama, kechosim amartufim. How much clay, reddish dirt that's used for the making of clay, that's used in building, kechosim amartufim. Like you would use an amount of clay to sign on certain bags. Divi Rabbi Akiva, chama omrim, kechosim haigaros. It's a smaller amount that you would sign on a letter. Zevel v'chol hadak. Fertilizer and thin sand, k'dei lezaba kelach shel kruv, enough to fertilize a cabbage. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, cham omrim, k'dei lezaba kresha, a leek, even a smaller amount. Chol agas, thick sand, k'dei litin amelo kafsid, to sand, to mix together with lime. Kone k'dei lasus kulmus, a reed to make a quill. If it was cracked, so you can't use it for that, or too thick, it's enough to make a fire to heat up an egg. Trufa, an egg that's mixed up. It's already in the pot. Says the Gemara, Amalo kafsid. What do you mean? Enough sand to place in the lime. Says the Gemara, Tanik delitin al pi kafshel sayodin. To mix up the sand with the lime. Ask Gemara, man tana dechol mali l'sid. Where do you say, how do you know that sand actually is helpful for lime? How do you know that sand is actually helps to make lime better? Amar v'chista Rabbi Hudahi, desani lo yosad adam is beso besid. A person, after the churban, was not allowed to put white, beautiful white lime on his house after the churban. They didn't want your houses looking so nice. So you're not allowed to have nice white limestone to build a house with. Elam came ear of both tevin ochol, unless you mixed some sand into it. So it shouldn't be so white. Rabbi Huda Omer, tevin mutter. You can mix straw into it, but chol asim they shoot traxid. What do you mean? Sand actually helps the lime. It makes it stronger. So it might not look white, but it's still going to be nicer because it's going to be stronger. So you're not allowed to do that. So you see from there that the sand helps the lime a lot, like Rabbi Huda. Rav Amar Filu Tema Rabbanan. You could even see that our Mishnah is going like Rabbanan, that the sand ruins the lime. But Kilkulo Zeu Tikuno, the fact that it ruins it means you're allowed to use it. So therefore, because you're not allowed to look so nice after the Churban, so therefore it's considered to be something significant and you're chai for carrying it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Kana Lasus Kede Lasus Kulmus, you're not allowed to carry a reed in order to make a quill. Tana, we learned in a Braisa. How large a reed is a minimum size pen? It gets up to your knuckles. Ah, obvious kasha, just like washing on Yom Kippur. Which knuckles? by Rav Ashi. Kesher ha'elyon or kesher ha'tachton? Right? Is it, look over here. Is it these knuckles up here? Or is it these knuckles? Which knuckles? Teku. I don't know. Some people, I don't know, you can hold a pen. You can hold a pen with your small knuckles. I don't know how you can do that, but okay. V'im ha'ya kane, if it was cracked or thick, so then it's enough of a reed to cook an egg. Tana, trufa b'shemen u'nesun b'ilvus. It's got to be an egg mixed up with oil and already in the pot. Amalei ma'abri, because then it takes a little shorter. It takes shorter to cook it. Amalei ma'abri d'arvin l'bre. Ma'abri d'arvin said to his son, mishmielach beitza kala mayhi. What's a beitza kala? Amalei, biasa d'tziltzela. It's the egg of a dove. My time, mishum d'zutra. It's small. If it's because it's small, Ema did see parta, a hummingbird egg is even smaller. Ishtik, he was quiet. Amalei, midishmielach, ma, daddy, did you hear a pshat in this? Amalei, hach, yamar of sheshes, beitzas tanagolas. No, it's really a chicken's egg. Umay karu lubeitzakala. Why do they call it beitzakala? Shiru chachamein lucha beitzakala lavashel, yosin beitzas tanagolas. The rabbis knew that the easiest egg to cook is the egg of a chicken. Umay shno, kol shiru shabbos. Kagroigeris, and his son, while his son was asking Tati the questions, he's figured he asked all those questions. Why did the rabbi say every shear of Shabbos that has to do with food is always a dried fig? But here it's an egg. Amalei hacham Rav Nachman. Kagroigeris mi beitza kala. You're right. No, it means a grogeris size of a chicken's egg. That's the shear. It's still a grogeris here too. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining. Have a wonderful day. Bez Hashem.
Have a good day.
We will see you tomorrow. Sorry, we got a long way to wait till Shabbos. But we got Shavuos.